Okay, so John chapter 21, starting at verse 1, and it says this. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is it to you? What is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is a disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there were also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Well, do keep that passage open. We're going to have a look at that in a moment. Just a couple of other things to say at this point. At the end of the message, there'd be an opportunity to ask any questions or comments. And we'll be able to use the live chat to do that. So I'll explain a bit more about that, but I mention it now so that you can be, as you go through, if there's questions or comments that you have, you can make a note and then ask them when the time comes. Also, I mentioned before, there is a sermon outline. Regulars would have received it via email on Friday, but of course, if you're tech savvy, you'd be able to download it in the description box below this broadcast. But before we go any further, I'm going to pray and ask for God's help. So do join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word together. As your people, please would you help us to listen to it, to trust it, and to obey it. And we ask this that you might be seen amongst us as the God who is truthful, good, and sovereign. Amen. Peter has a very important role to play in the church. I mean, Peter would be the one that would stand up at Pentecost and explain the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection at the coming of the Spirit. Peter would oversee the spread of the gospel, ensuring that the ministry to the Gentiles was joined up with that among the Jews. Peter would author part of the New Testament, not least his two letters to the church. You know, at the end of the day, it is Peter's witness that we rely on. We weren't there. We weren't eyewitnesses of the majesty of Jesus. But he was. And so we rely on his witness. But there's a problem. In the run-up to Jesus' death, Peter denied Jesus. When asked if he was one of Jesus' disciples, Peter said he wasn't. Now, there was no confusion. He was asked outright, and he denied it. But where does that leave Peter? Now, we can be very quick to defend Peter. It's all very understandable. We've all done it. But that is hardly a defence for Peter, is it? Simply adding more people to the dock of those who deny Jesus. That doesn't excuse Peter, but just adds more guilt on the rest of us. And the whole denial, well, that's been written up in John's Gospel. Well, we'll have a look at it in a moment. But for now, I want us to see that it raises questions, doesn't it? Quite apart from where it leaves Peter's own personal relationship with Jesus, where does it leave his relationship with the rest of the church? I mean, if Peter were to be publicly discredited, where does that leave his witness? Well, this is the question that's been addressed in John chapter 21. Now, in order to make sense of what happens in John chapter 21, let's first refresh our memories of the denial itself. And it's recorded for us back in John chapter 18. There are just two observations to be made. The first is that Peter's denial was public. Look at where we're told Peter is. I'll pick it up from John chapter 18, verse 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept the watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. So Peter has followed Jesus. Jesus has been taken into the courtyard of the high priest. Peter's left outside. But then he gains access to the same courtyard because the other disciple is known to the high priest. So here is Peter. He's standing in the courtyard of the high priest. He's standing among the servants and officers warming themselves on the charcoal fire. And then John chapter 18, verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." Peter's denial was public. It was in front of a group of servants and officers of the high priest in his courtyard. Now, if this had happened privately, you know, just between Peter and Jesus, then perhaps the matter could have been addressed privately. But this happened publicly. It was known. People knew about it. And because it was public, the matter needed to be addressed publicly. Well, the second observation is that Peter denied Jesus three times. So just look with me. The first denial is there in John 18, verse 17. Verse 17, the servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Second denial is in verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." And then the third denial is in verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Peter disowned Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. Now, some of us, when we get to John chapter 21, will be thinking that this is the one about the different types of love. And that is because we may recall teaching that we've had about this exchange between Peter and Jesus. And it goes something like this. So there are two different Greek verbs for love that appear in this exchange with Jesus and Peter. There is agapeo and phileo. Now, both are translated love in the ESV, so we don't get to see the different verbs that are being used. But Jesus uses agapeo and Peter uses phileo. So in John chapter 21, verse 15, when Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus is using agapeo. Whereas when Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," he is using the verb phileo. In other words, we're supposed to notice that they're using different words to each other. And the significance of this, we are told, turns on the different meaning of the two verbs. Phileo just means love, whereas agapeo means truly love. In other words, agapeo is the stronger form of love. So whilst Jesus is asking Peter whether he truly loves him, Peter can only respond with the weaker form. The point being made is that Peter can't bring himself to say that he truly loves Jesus. Well, this, of course, does nothing for his credentials, as despite being repeatedly asked, the most he will claim is the weaker form. In the words of Don Carson, this will not do. Now, he provides a number of reasons why, and let me just give you a couple of them. The first is that the two verbs, agapeo and phileo, are used interchangeably in John's Gospel. For example, the disciple whom Jesus loved uses both verbs. The Father loves the Son can be based on either verb. And Jesus loved Lazarus. Also, both verbs are used. John seems quite happy to use the verbs interchangeably, rather than using one to make a point over and above the other. A second reason is to observe that John does this kind of thing with other word groups, not least here in John chapter 21. So if you look in verse 15, Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my lambs." And then in verse 16, he says, "Tend my sheep." So here we have two more pairs of words, feed and tend, lambs and sheep. And Carson's point is that people don't make a big thing of these pairs. You know, the first time he said feed, but the second time he said tend. Or Jesus said lambs, and then he changed it to sheep. I mean, that's not the point. Feed and tend are of a piece. Lambs and sheep is the same idea. And if people are not making that distinction with feed and tend and lambs and sheep, then why are we making it with the two different verbs to love? Well, having cleared the ground, we're now in a position to appreciate the significance of what is happening here with Peter and Jesus. Namely, Peter being reinstated to service. To parallel what we saw back in his denial, there are two observations to be made. The first is that this exchange between Jesus and Peter was public. Chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus is here with his disciples, at least seven of them who were named back in verse 2. And having just finished breakfast together, there is this exchange. Now, the public nature of this conversation is implied by the question that Jesus asked Peter. Do you love me more than these? Do these being the other disciples, which of course assumes that, well, they're still present. Now, this is significant because Peter's denial was public. People knew about it. The disciples knew about it. And because it was public, the matter needed to be addressed publicly. I mean, no doubt there was a private forgiveness and reconciliation between Peter and Jesus. But what we're witnessing here is more public, so that the other disciples can know that Peter has been reinstated. See, whatever future service Peter will have depends not only on being forgiven by Jesus, but also being accepted amongst the other disciples. Now, all of this really comes together when we consider the second observation, and that is that Jesus asks Peter three times whether he loves him. The first is in verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." The second is in verse 16. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And the third is in verse 17. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, this, of course, has its parallel with Peter's denial. Peter denied Jesus three times. And Jesus questioning Peter and allowing Peter to affirm his love for Jesus parallels that. As he disowned Jesus three times, so Jesus requires Peter's confession three times. Now notice that Peter is being reinstated not simply as a believer, but to public ministry. And this ministry is described in terms of caring for Jesus's sheep. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't say, "Tend your flock," but "Tend my sheep." And this is, of course, reminiscent of John chapter 10. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And here, Peter is reinstated to share a responsibility for shepherding Jesus's sheep. This is more than personal reconciliation. This is because of his future ministry and service of God's people, one that will end in a final display of faithful witness, namely martyrdom. And that's what's going on in verses 18 and 19. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Stretch out your hands is the idea of crucifixion. So that what will be 3 decades of fruitful service will end in a final display of faithful witness as he imitates Christ not only in the kind of death he will suffer, but also that it will be a kind of death that would glorify God. For this reason, the final "follow me" at the end of verse 19 may well have been more than a personal invitation for Peter to have a private walk with Jesus along the beach. It may well be tied to Jesus calling Peter to an unwavering, consistent discipleship until the martyrdom he now faces comes about. Well, we began by observing that the question being asked in John chapter 21 is about where Peter stands with regard to Jesus. I mean, Peter has publicly denied Jesus three times. And quite apart from where that leaves his own personal relationship with Jesus, where does it leave the relationship with the rest of the disciples? We've seen that the significance of John chapter 21 is as a reinstatement of Peter to public ministry. Jesus questioning him three times parallels his three times denial and signals his reinstatement. And this has huge implications for us, for we rely on his witness. It's the idea that we met in the previous chapter. If you recall, in John 20, Jesus said to Thomas, 20, verse 29, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus here anticipates a time when he will not provide the kind of tangible evidence given Thomas. In short, he will ascend to the Father permanently. Now, he's talked about this at length with his disciples back in chapters 14, 15, and 16. He even says to Mary in chapter 20, verse 17, "Do not cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father." So that all those who believe after the ascension of Jesus will do so without the benefit of having seen the resurrected Lord. And that is as true today as it was for those who first believed after the ascension. Now, that doesn't mean that our faith is second class. Rather, it simply acknowledges the risen Jesus was witnessed by the disciples, but that he ascended to the Father. And we now rely on their testimony, not least that of the reinstated Peter. Well, let me pray, and then I'll open up to any questions or comments that you may have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to John chapter 21, we're aware that we don't come asking the question necessarily about Peter and where has Peter's denial left him. There'd be a tendency for us to be more likely to think less of his denial. And since we already accept the witness of Peter, it's not really a question that we are asking. But Father, as we enter the storyline of the Bible, thank you that actually this is an important question, that Peter having denied Jesus, and that he will later go on to be a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, is important that he is both personally reconciled to the Lord Jesus and publicly accepted. And we thank you that that's exactly what John chapter 21 does. We thank you that whilst it does display enormous mercy on the part of Jesus, who would forgive one who has so publicly denied him, we thank you that it also gives us great confidence in his witness to us. We thank you that your gospel anticipates that there will be many who will come after the ascension of Jesus who will not have seen Jesus, and so that we rely on the witness of others. And we thank you for that provision, that we can have confidence in that witness as they are authorized by you to be those who will bear witness. And we thank you that that means that we can know you, the true God, and that we can know your Son, whom you sent for us and our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so now is the opportunity for questions and comments. The way it works is that you can just type it in the live chat on your screen. Obviously, if you catch up, that's not going to work. And one thing that people find helpful, if I just demo, if you type a Q in, and press enter, just means we know we've got a question coming or a comment, and then that will mean that we'll wait for you. So you might have a question about something I've said, or that was in the text, or you might have a comment, I want to explore an implication of what's been said. So over to you. I'm going to try and get to work on my phone. It's now very just keen downloading sermon outline, which is not what I'm looking for. But I can see it on the computer. Okay, I'm gonna. Okay, question from Theo. Hi, Theo. He says, Theo's question, why does Jesus keep asking Peter if he loves him? Thea missed it in the sermon. Hi, Thea. It's a really good question. And it's a really interesting one because it does seem to pain Peter that Jesus keeps asking him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Now, the key to understanding it, Theo, is how many times does Jesus ask Peter? Three times. So if you want to have a look, if you've got your Bible, just so you can see it for yourself. So the first time is in verse 15. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? The second time is in verse 16. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And then 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Three times. Now that's the clue, because it takes us back to John chapter 18, where there was another three. And this time it wasn't Peter being asked if he loved Jesus. It was Peter saying that he didn't know Jesus, that he wasn't one of his disciples. So John 18, three times Peter's asked, are you one of his disciples? Peter says no. And this is the point where Jesus has been arrested. He's been questioned by the high priest. And Peter doesn't publicly say, I'm with Jesus. But actually he says, I'm not with him. Okay. Now that's quite a serious thing to do, to say that you don't know Jesus or you're not one of his disciples. And so that's happened back in John 18. But what's happening in John 21 is basically, it's like a replay, but this time Peter gets to say that he loves Jesus three times. And that kind of deals with what happened back in John 18, because John 18 was not good, because Peter was denying Jesus. But this is like a Jesus giving Peter the opportunity to reinstate, to say that he does love Jesus. And the fact he does it three times, it sort of parallels the three times denial. So it leaves us being really confident that Peter is now reconciled to Jesus. He's been forgiven by Jesus. He is one of his disciples. And that's really important for us, Theo, because Peter will go on to write parts of the New Testament. And if we still had questions about Peter and his loyalty to Jesus, you know, we might be a bit, well, where does that leave us? But Jesus makes it very clear that Peter is one of his disciples, and that therefore we can have confidence in what Peter will later go on to say and write. So hopefully that helps. If not, you can you can ask your mum and dad a bit more. Okay, let's have a look at the next thing. Nikki from Susie. Is it significant that Jesus addresses Peter as Simon?
Okay, so yes, so 15, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Not that I'm aware of. I'm just going to check my notes. I don't recall. Yeah, no, I don't. There's nothing that I can, nothing that I'm aware of that was particularly significant about that. It's one of these funny things, because you kind of think there's so many things in the story that you just think, is that significance? So, you know, you kind of have the 153 fish. What's significant about 153? And, you know, you can kind of, you know, apparently people have come with all kinds of ideas, and you just think there's 153 fish because, do you know what? There are 153 fish. And probably when they caught so many, someone said, that's a lot of fish. I wonder how many there are. And they counted them. So here, I'm slow to kind of make a lot of, you know, it's this, it must mean this. I mean, I think one thing I would say is that a lot is made of how this is public. So I don't think we want to go on the route of saying this is, you know, it's all very personal, and you know, this is all very private. And that goes back to the fact that Peter's denial was very public, and the disciples would have known about that. And so this needs to be witnessed by the disciples, because it's not just about Peter's relationship with Jesus, but also it's crucial that Peter relates well to the other disciples in their apostolic witness that will, you know, proceed after his ascension. So, yeah. So hopefully that helps. So, yeah, I'm not aware of any significance. And I think we do want to stress the whole positiveness, so the publicness of what's going on. This isn't a private thing. And it's an interesting thing, because I think a corollary of that is that I think if things have happened publicly, then they do need to be addressed publicly, because people know about them, and therefore it needs to be addressed. Whereas if things do happen privately, you know, so Peter's confession, denial had been a private thing between Jesus, you know, there was at least a possibility that that could have been sorted out in a private conversation, a private walk on the beach. And not necessarily made public. So I think there's a kind of a helpful principle there as we think about the wider implications for dealing with, you know, sin. Okay, comment from Ricky. Oh, Theo says, thank you. You're very welcome. And Theo, I think it's the first time that a young person has asked a question. So that's wonderful. I'm pleased that you're thinking hard about scriptures. Okay, I'm having to lean because I'm having to read it from the screen, but I'll read it out for you, Ricky. To assist. Thank you, Ricky. John 2, 40 to 42 records Simon's name, change additional name, Simon Peter. So he's still publicly known as Simon, but also Peter. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so going back to John 2, that's where he's given the name Peter, but he's known both as Simon and Peter. Thank you, Ricky. It's very helpful. Okay, anything else you want to ask about? Oh, sorry, it's John 1, 40, 42. I better have a look now just to check this. I will test Ricky's comment. 1, 40, it says here. Oh, yes, so 1, 40, it says, one of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, so you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. So there we go. Good stuff. Okay, comment from Nikki. Nikki, just on the significance of detail, do you think there was any significance in Peter warming himself by the fire when he denied Jesus? Ooh. I don't know. I want to say to Nikki, do you think there's any significance? I don't know. Let's have a look. John 18. So this is the bit where it says, verse 18 of John 18:18. Peter was with them, standing and warming himself. Oh yeah, there is significance. Start of verse 18. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. So probably Peter was cold like the officers and officials, and therefore he was warming his because he was cold. So it says here, getting too comfortable, a suggestion. Yeah. In the first instance, I would just be thinking, it says they made a fire because it was cold and Peter was with them and he was cold. I don't... Yeah, I don't know how much to make of it really. I mean, Peter is following Jesus, so I guess he's there is a kind of he's interested in what's happening to Jesus. But I think actually when he's has the opportunity to say, are you with him or not, he just stays quiet. So I would tend to just say he's just cold and not well. It's repeated in verse 25. Let's have a look. Yes, so I think although it's repeated in verse 25, I think that that's just picking up the narrative, because basically in 19 to 24, okay, you've got the high priest questioning Jesus. So in terms of the narrative, you've got Jesus taken in to the court of the high priest. Peter's left outside. Peter is then gets in because the other disciple was known to the high priest. At that point, Jesus brought into questioning, but then the narrative goes back to Peter, who's in the courtyard warming himself. So I think in many ways that could just be a textual reference, 25 to 18. By all means, I'll have a look in the commentary and see if there is something. I mean, it is interesting that, well, because you do get, like John, he does like it. You know, John uses dark figuratively. So dark and light are important themes in the Bible. And so when Nicodemus, back in John 3, goes to Jesus, it's dark. And you kind of think, oh, is he just saying it was nighttime, or is there a bit more to it? So I think that sometimes things like that are going on. I mean, another example would be the follow me back in 21:19, where Jesus says to Peter, follow me. And you think, does he just mean come and take a walk with me down the beach? You know, could just mean that. But, you know, Carson's quite happy to say at this stage, actually, follow me, whilst it may mean a private walk with Jesus, may also mean this idea of from now on, follow me. You bear faithful witness to me for the rest of your days, which will end in the final faithful witness of martyrdom. So this idea of where Peter had denied, now he's reinstated, there is this call to, to this consistent sort of discipleship. So I think we can maybe say in those cases, maybe there is more going on, but I suppose you just have to be careful that you don't kind of get carried away and see significance in detail, which just isn't there. And actually, the detail may be nothing more than, well, this is what happened. It's part of the, there were 153 fish because there were 153 fish. Just adds to the authenticity of the account. It's eyewitness. Okay. Hang on. Here we go. Carson says, John is the only one that mentions charcoal fire, which suggests eyewitness. It was cold and took place at night. Legal proceedings at night under normal circumstances were illegal other than extraordinary situation. Oh, great. That's helpful. Yeah, so that is then the idea that it's it was a fire because it was cold. It was taking place at night. But then that has a significance that actually these legal proceedings are extraordinary. These are, this questioning of Jesus is out of the ordinary. Good. Great. I'm happy to leave it there if you guys are, but I'll give a final moment for anyone to come back. And that is John. By the way, if you have missed any John, they're all available to catch up on our YouTube channel. So do, especially as a night's drawing, you can make use of these recordings and follow through for yourself if you've missed any.